Yeah, I mean, that's why we do what we do, right? Is like they come back and they write you a note when they graduate, or they send you pictures of their family, you know, or they give you pictures of them in their uniform, their work uniform. So that just kind of makes it all worth it. But yeah, it's a wonderful, fulfilling profession for sure.
Welcome to the Career Education Learning Center podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Rivers. I am thrilled and excited and honored to have Alyssa Hatchfield on our show today. She is a program manager of academic success coaching at North Carolina Central University, located in Durham, North Carolina, home of the Eagles. How are you doing today, Alyssa?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on our show. Alyssa, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your journey to your current career path.
Okay, well, it is a long and sordid journey, but I originally always was interested in education and learning. I originally went to college with the mindset that I was going to be a high school history teacher and a softball coach. And through a series of, I guess, unfortunate events, I ended up not pursuing that. But it led me to where I am now, which I didn't know was even a career. And I'm grateful for those, but also, you know, it was a long path to kind of find my way back here.
And so tell the audience, kind of, what do your department do, or what does it offer? What services for the students there at North Carolina Central?
Yeah, so we're housed in University College, which serves freshmen, sophomores, and transfer students at NCCU. So you have to be a bit, you got to be a jack of all trades, I feel like, because we interact with students all different majors and all different stages in their educational journey. Mm-hmm. My particular group is a group of academic coaches and success tutors. So we are more in the academic success realm.
That is great, especially for the students. Now, do your area or department offer tutoring services also, or do they have access to tutoring services within your department?
Yes, we have tutoring, we have the writing studio, we have the speaking studio, we have anything that the student could potentially need to be successful in the academic realm, we have.
Now, you say you also serve a lot of freshmen, sophomore, and transfer students. I was a transfer student. I went to Central Piedmont Community College, and then I transferred to UNC Pembroke. How has that transition gone for transfer students coming in? I was a transfer student, and do you find that they may be more, adaptable to the college system, more than freshmen, because they have a little background at community college?
Yeah, they definitely have their own set of strengths, very adaptable, very resilient, very flexible, but also some extra challenges or considerations when you're working with them. They might be working full-time jobs. They might be a little bit older, non-traditional students. So you just have to kind of, you know, figure out who this person is and what they're bringing to the table and how you can best support them.
Yeah, I was like that too. You're mature, and a lot of them are older, and they do work in part-time or full-time jobs, especially with how expensive things are today. Wow, everywhere, not only colleges, but just across the board. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things you see as far as freshmen coming in? Are there challenges or deficiencies they have coming in that y'all try to help show up a little bit for them in the college realm?
Yeah, I think for our group of freshman students, we have a lot of low income, Pell eligible, first generation. Mm-hmm. So we really have to start at the beginning because we can't assume that everyone comes in with the same set of skills and knowledge, and just kind of support them and meet them where they are. So we also, in our department, we have first year seminar, which is that, you know, intro, you know, how to have success in college course, which I taught for 6 years. So they're getting it from all sides. So as coaches, we're just trying to supplement whatever gaps we feel like that person might be dealing with. And sometimes that can be something as small as like, I just don't know how to manage myself. I've never had to wake up on time by myself, or I've never had to, how do I deal with these dynamics with a roommate and someone that I just met, you know? So it's all different types of challenges.
Yeah, is time management one of the biggest challenges probably? Because I know I had that challenge like most freshmen did, you know. Because when you're at home, you know, your parents tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. You were fit to go here and there and you can do this and that. Now you had that freedom. Wow, I'm all by myself. No mama, no daddy telling me where I can't go, what I can't do. I go to sleep when I want to. You know, I go out when I want to, stay late as I want to. If I don't want to go to class, I don't feel like going to class. And so is time management one of the biggest things that you encounter when you're dealing with freshmen coming in?
Yes. So we always hold like a series of workshops, time management, test anxiety, all sorts of different workshops that we feel like might be helpful for the students. Time management is always the number one attended workshop. I mean, and that's one of those interesting challenges where like, you know, that this is your weakness, but then it's like, but what do I do about it? What is next? Or I know I should have a planner, I just don't use it. It's one of those things that everyone knows they need to have a good handle on, but it's like, how do we bridge that gap?
So do they continue to use your services even after this freshman year or coming in sophomore year? Because a lot of times, as I told you earlier before we started this podcast, is that I did not utilize the services that was offered at my university or community college. And that probably hurt me as far as being ready out in the real world, quote unquote, when I got out there. And so is there a way that y'all really stress to them, use the services here at the university? Your student fees pay this. You know, your parents or that student loan, you got to pay for this. So please use the services that we offer here. That way it make you a more of a well-rounded person and encourage you to do more than just go to school, go to class and come in and go out.
Yes. So obviously working with students, especially in a one-on-one role like coaching, you build really strong relationships. And so a lot of times when we say, okay, you did it, like you're good to go. Like, they're like, wait, no, I'm not ready. I don't want to leave. We kind of adopted the philosophy, like we will meet and support the willing. So, you know, come one, come all, you know, come use our services and we'll never kind of, we'll try our best not to say no or turn them down or find ways to bridge the gap and connect them with resources.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's funny because that's the opposite of what I was thinking, you know. But instead, y'all are holding hands more or less and trying to, you know, like, it's time for you to go out by yourself now. You don't need us no more at the moment. Now, if you need us, we're here. But, you know, you need to just tread a little bit water yourself, you know, like somebody getting to swim, right? You know, they're holding on. They hit a little footies, a little hoodie, you know, all that little balloon stuff. They're time to take them off or they're riding a bike. And I seen one this morning, in fact, Alisa. Is that riding a bike and the kid, you know, riding his little bike with daddy, but one day those training wheels gonna have to come off. And so, and since y'all trying to get the students to say, hey, one day these training wheels are gonna have to come off.
Yeah.
You have to make it on your own. And so have you found that students in the past that you've coached have come back to you and say, hey, you was a big help. It helped so much using your services.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why we do what we do, right? Is like they come back and they write you a note when they graduate, or they send you pictures of their family, you know, or they give you pictures of them in their uniform, their work uniform. So that just kind of makes it all worth it. But yeah, it's a wonderful, fulfilling profession for sure.
Is it something that high schools can do to prepare students more for college coming in? Is there something more, whether it is academically, socially, or maybe have the mindset better? Like when you go to college, you have to think this way. You know, I know we're here. I know you're the parents, but it's something, some type of program or something that you suggest that maybe can help students make that adjustment.
Yeah, this is just my opinion, but I feel like a lot of my students are really challenged by doing things that are out of their comfort zone and make them uncomfortable. So I kind of think that maybe high schools could, because they are in a comfort zone, it's the same school they've been in for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. They're in their comfort zone. They're living in their space with their families, or they have a strong support system. So we need to kind of push them, like, in what ways are you challenged right now? When's the last time you tried something new? When's the last time you talked to somebody new? Because they have their same group of friends. They have their same support system. Then they come to college and everything is new. They don't have a support system. They're living with a new roommate. They're going to a new school. They're held to a different set of standards and expectations.
Yeah.
And I think they're just kind of in shock a little bit. It's like when you put a fish in like a cold pond of water, they're like, and they just kind of sit there for a second. Like, and sometimes that is a freshman, and it can last for a day. It can last for a week, and it could last for a month or a semester. So just to kind of curve that, like, that challenging transition, I think just, like, personally, like, challenge yourself to step outside your comfort zone. Just because it feels you're nervous or it feels uncomfortable doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's everybody. And unfortunately, that's probably at the height of your comfort zone, to be honest. Let's be honest. I mean, we learned it, said, but going from high school to college, from sports to anything, to academics, to even being out on your own, a new job, right? Yep. That is a big challenge, because not, like you said before, now the quote-unquote real world comes in and you don't have all that comfort zone around you. You're working with new people, different background, different races. Everything's just sort of different there. And so you got used to that kind of, like you said before, that little shelter that you had, or conference zone or cubicle, where I used to work in all the time, and you get used to that, right? You get same friends, same people. Now you have to adjust. New friends, new people, new whole thing. And you go to first day of class. Unless I'm in my first day of class, oh my god, I was shocked, shell shocked. They got this syllabus, and this back in the day, they didn't have computers we didn't use, okay? I'm telling my age now.
Paper syllabus.
Paper syllabus and everything else. And you look at it like, oh my god, I got to read this, I got to do this, you know? And then for each class you go to that first week, like, oh my goodness, how am I doing? It's, you felt so overwhelming. Then you got the roommate, then you got the cafeteria. This is the whole lot there.
Where's the mailbox? Where do I get my haircut? I mean, just like simple things that you haven't had to think about your whole life. And all of a sudden you're faced with too many decisions and too many choices and too many options, which is a good problem to have, but also like it can be really overwhelming.
Yes. And so after the freshman sophomore year, now, do you encourage them more to get more involved in the student activities, the club, organizations? Then, you know, the freshman year, I always tell students who I talk to, like, freshman year, just mainly study, you know. Unless you're playing some type of sport or activity that you came to the university with, that first year, just get to the adjustment. By your sophomore year, then you may start looking to participate in other activities and group activities. Do you encourage that by the sophomore year?
Yeah, for sure. I think freshman year, once you get a good handle on your academics, like you can start to brainstorm some of the things that you might want to get involved in the following year, because there might be like certain requirements, certain GPA requirements, or certain service requirements or whatever. Sophomore year is a great time to branch out and try those new things, get involved. You know, at Central, we have a community service requirement for graduation. So, they need to be out there and giving back to the community all the time.
Yeah, that is great, because, you know, you learn by giving back, you learn about different avenues, different people, different organizations, and how they run things. And so no matter what they major is, you're going to be a leader out there regardless, right? Mm-hmm. And so that gives them that background as far as being a leader, going to the community, and seeing what's going out there, right? Especially if they're not from Durham or from North Carolina. So now they can see part of the city or part of the area they never go to on their own, and they see how things work there. And so that's something that I definitely encourage nonprofit, helping out nonprofits or for-profit areas, just to help out the community more. And then that way, when you become a leader, then you know what, you know, how to help out nonprofits or help out your community, right? It's about giving back, giving to those who have blessed you, and you bless those with them. What it's called, passing it on, or I forgot the name.
Paying it forward.
Paying it forward. There we go. Paying it forward. You see, at least she got me, y'all. So paying it forward. What do you enjoy most? You seem so passionate about this, Alyssa. What do you enjoy most about your job?
Yeah, I think what I enjoy most is just the seeing them kind of from the beginning, right? Uh-huh. So sometimes we support like our Summer Bridge program here, Aspiring Eagles Academy. And so to see them from the very, very beginning, where they are, and to see them like during graduation or even beyond that, see the growth, see the journey, be a part of it, such a privilege, such a pivotal 4 or 5 years of a young person's life. So just to see how much they can grow and change and evolve, and then know that they're going to go out there in the world and make our world better. I said, I'm not going to be a president. I'm not going to be a, you know, Supreme Court, you know, justice or anything like that, but you could be, and you could be the person that makes a positive impact, like on my world, on my son's world. So I just feel like that's the biggest impact I can make, is just how many young person's lives can I impact?
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that HBCU experience, being a North Carolina Central HBCU school, bring a unique experience that your students can take out into the world?
Yes, I think it's a wonderful environment. I think a lot of my students can really grow and flourish because they're not having to they feel comfortable, and it's a safe space, and they feel supported. It is that kind of like family environment where sometimes some of my other students have really struggled at PWIs because even after during grad school, because there is so much navigation that needs to happen in those spaces, where that extra energy can go back into yourself or back into your personal development, back into your academics. So I really think like HBCUs have a irreplaceable space in our education landscape and just like the world. And they're precious, and they should be protected at all costs.
They should. They really should. And I felt that way not only at HBCUs, but small colleges, right? I was not academically ready to go to a four-year school, even the size of North Carolina Central. So I went to community college first, which I felt gave me the academic background I need to go to a four-year school. I was probably socially ready, but definitely wasn't academically ready. And so that prepared me. And I know with the student orientations that y'all have, and like I said, the Eagles program that y'all have, trying to get those students ready to, once they go into the academic world, right, to be ready and go to that. So I think that's, you know, that's why I really support HBCUs. I think they've done a wonderful job. In fact, I am a proud son of two HBCU graduates. My dad went to North Carolina Central. And North Carolina College then, and then my mom went to North Carolina A&T. So all of the arch rivals, you see the arch rival made four kids. Me and my brothers, right? We see what arch rivals can do when they're not fighting.
Yes.
So when the arch rivals not fighting, those two arch rivals made four kids. So
tugged in two different directions.
Tugged in two different directions, right. So, you know, that what can happen there. But I really enjoyed you being here today. Do you have any advice for our freshmen or even high school students coming into college?
Yeah, I would just say one of the biggest differences between your experience in high school and your experience in college is that in high school, a lot of people are going to come to you. A lot of the services are going to approach you and come to you. And in college, you're going to have to do some of that work. It is a bit of a 50-50, you know, you've got to approach the professors. You have to initiate, you know, engaging with the services, whether that be coaching or tutoring. Like, you're going to have to seek out these things. Mm-hmm. And I just want them to know that they're never a burden to us. Like, we're here because most of us really love and are super passionate about the role that we can play and the impact that we can make on their lives. I think a lot of our students feel like, well, I don't want to be a bother. You know, I'm like, you're never a bother. You know, like, you are the reason, you're the best part about our work, not, you know, you're never a bother. So just put yourself out there. You never know who somebody knows or what connections and what a network can do for you.
Yeah, I want to put something in there too, add something to that too, is that to make sure students, if you're watching, please utilize those services. I cannot stress that enough, you know, whether you need internships, whether you need help with financial aid, whether you need counseling. I mean, all these services is what your student fees pay for. And each college, each university want to make sure that you had the best experience at that university and college, because their goal is to make sure that you graduate not only academically, not only socially, but as a whole person. They want you to come in better than when you came, and they want you to come in more experience and more growth. They want you to grow as an individual. You know, to be a better person, a better individual, and go out there and be explore the world, be the best that you can be, whether it's academic, socially, or even within the community that you live in. And so that's why I'm so glad that Alyssa came on our show today. I thank you so much for coming on, and I got to have you again, okay?
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
And I'd like to thank our viewers and listeners for joining me, Mitchell Rivers, on the Career Education Learning Center podcast, where we make your career dreams a reality. God bless.